The Camaldoli monastic community near the Tuscan hill town of Arezzo in central Italy is a place of outstanding natural beauty. Immersed in a lush forest around the foothills of the Apennine mountain range, it is this year celebrating the 1,000th anniversary of its foundation by Benedictine monk St. Romwald, who drew deeply on the ancient monastic traditions of both East and West. With a vocation to unite both the solitary life of the hermit and the community dimension of a shared faith, the Camaldoli community has increasingly developed this vision as a place of encounter between peoples of different backgrounds and faith traditions. Significantly, the emblem of the community depicts two doves drinking from the same chalice, a symbol of communion within diversity, nourished by a relationship with the one God. Over recent decades, this openness to others has made it into an important centre for dialogue with people of different faiths and other Christian traditions. Since the mid-1500s, the Camaldoli community has also had an important presence here in Rome, at the monastery of St. Gregory on the Caelian Hill, the place from which St. Gregory the Great sent out St. Augustine at the end of the 6th century to bring the Christian gospel to the people of Anglo-Saxon England. And it is in this same church that Pope Benedict and the Anglican Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, are celebrating Vespers on Saturday, marking together the millennium of the Camaldoli community.
The hospitality that Camaldoli offered to ecumenical and religious dialogue was a concrete expression of what internally it had arrived at in terms of its own reflection.
Australian Father Peter Hughes is the current prior of the monastery of San Gregorio al Celio. He told me more about the history of the community and why the monastery on the Caelian Hill has become such an important place of ecumenical encounter between popes and archbishops of Canterbury since the Second Vatican Council.
The Camaldoli community is fundamentally a reform which began under the inspiration of St. Romwald at the turn of the first millennium, where certain inspirations of Eastern monasticism, and in particular the link between a life in solitude and a life in community, was a strong element, became the inspiration of Camaldoli. And in terms of continuity, Camaldoli is the last foundation, the Hermitage of Camaldoli, last foundation of St. Romwald. And there, structurally, at Camaldoli, in the Apennines, above Arezzo, we have a hermitage, which is based on the form of the ancient Laura, Palestinian-Egyptian Laura. And 3 kilometres down the same mountain, a monastery, which is in the form of a traditional monastic community, oriented around cloisters. Whereas the hermitage is a series of separate cells with their own walled gardens, where each monk lives in the solitude of his own cell. And what brought me to Camaldoli was, first of all, this search for an equilibrium in the tension between solitude and community. But more importantly, the discovery and the journey that Camaldoli itself made in the wake of the research which began in the 1930s and 40s, research into the archives, the annals of Camaldoli, to deepen the understanding of the original inspiration of Camaldoli, and therefore to develop a response appropriate in the contemporary situation, which was given an impulse by the Second Vatican Council, and which led to a complete rethinking of the relationship between the monastic vocation and the contemporary society. And so Camaldoli began to create a space, above all here in Italy, for that kind of dialogue and research which enabled people from all sorts of backgrounds and interests to come together and in that context enter into a reflection, and in particular on what it is to be a Christian in the contemporary society, and under the auspices of and in the context of the research of the monastic community itself. All of this led me, or really, at Camaldoli had already created a culture, an environment, which made it very natural for me, coming from another ecclesiastical communion, to find points of reference in terms, for example, of the concept of unity in diversity, and therefore to feel that my own diversity could find a home in that context.
To most people, the choice of life in a hermitage, life in a secluded, isolated situation is a radically different choice from that of living in community, working with the outside world, as it were. And yet you're talking about the close and deep relationship between the two. Can you explain that a little bit more to us?
One of the great movements at Camaldoli, particularly in the 60s and 70s, was at the hermitage itself. The decision to open the doors of the hermitage and for the first time to accept lay guests, because the original foundation provided for the fact that nobody could arrive at the hermitage and stay at the hermitage. The guest house was down at the monastery. So the hermitage was a completely enclosed community and environment in the classical sense of a hermitage and the eremitic life. And it was really through this research I spoke of into the original inspiration of Camaldoli and the sense of a call to express a monastic testimony in a new cultural context, in this case that of the mid-20th century, led to an opening of the doors. And both internally, the community itself changed in that monks that once ate alone in their cells and did almost everything alone, and the amount of liturgical celebration in community was minimal, a decision was made within the community to do everything together, to eat together, eat all meals together in the refectory, and to worship together. All the worship was together. And then to open the doors, as I say, to outside guests and create an environment at the hermitage itself in which this dialogue I spoke of before could also take place with all sorts of people who came and come for retreats, both groups and individuals. Because the hospitality is aimed in two directions. The old stables have been transformed and into a guest house for groups of up to 30 people, self-catering, fully equipped kitchen and refectory, who come, parish groups and other groups who come and live the rhythm, the daily rhythm and worship and prayer of the community, monastic community. And members of the community, the monks, do Bible studies and are available for discussions and also personal meetings and so on. So this sort of contact led to a development of the hermitage as a resource for a vast number of people, which it continues to be, and also the monastery down below, because a whole program was developed down at the great Weeks of Camaldoli, this great educative program.
It seems to be a particularly successful formula in a secular society, as we see in so many European countries, where people are increasingly not going to church and not wanting religion in its traditional formula, and yet are still searching for something spiritual.
What we've found is that the people who come are looking for a space in which they can freely express their own doubts, their own desire to explore, not to feel that they're judged, but where questions can freely be asked and where dialogue can take place and a conversation can continue without too much dogmatic imposition. There's a freedom to leave certain questions open, and therefore behind all of this is really an idea of the human person as someone who grows not only individually, but also grows in terms of a relationship with others in this same search for a sense, search for a reason at the core of our existence, and also to develop an understanding of the figure of Christ and to deepen the reading of the Word of God, which is at the centre of the monastic spirituality, that can sustain this search and also give points of reference. And so what tends to happen is that there's also always a turnover, there are always new people who are coming, but there's also a continuity and therefore a deepening in terms of this relationship between the guests who come to Camaldoli and the program that we offer and the space that we offer for this kind of discussion to take place.
Is there a profile of the average sort of person who is looking for this kind of sense to their lives, if you like, this kind of spiritual quest? Or would you say that there is no one average sort of person, that they come from all walks of life, all ages, all backgrounds?
They come from all walks of life. I think if there's one thing that unifies those who come to Camaldoli is the sense of being on a path of exploration, the sense of being in some way living in relation to a mystery, living in relation to a reality which doesn't provide immediate answers. So there's a sense in which that what would be common to those who come to Camaldoli is this sense of wishing to deepen an understanding of those questions that, in a sense, we all live. That's the fundamental motivation, the sense that we live in relation to the questions, and we can live in relation to the questions positively. We don't need always for our security to feel that we have to have answers. So this living the question is really what Camaldoli has helped an enormous number of people to do. It's a way of living faith. It's what faith is about. And that's to say that we can do it if we feel we're a part of a community in solidarity with others who are on the same path. And that's what a monastic community can offer in its own expression of solidarity in the search and in its provision of this environment, safe environment, I would call it, in where you can voice your questions without being judged. You can develop a sense of community which is an extension of the monastic community itself.
The openness, if you like, this openness to questioning of the Camaldoli community makes it a particularly appropriate environment for ecumenical studies, and it is particularly renowned for that, isn't it?
Yes, ecumenical and interreligious, because, for example, the conversations, the Christian-Jewish dialogue, almost 30 years ago, began at Camaldoli. The annual meetings of the Secretariat for Ecumenical Activity, the national ecumenical group founded after the Second Vatican Council, began its national meetings at Camaldoli and then had to move because the group became too large for the guest house at Camaldoli. So this the hospitality that Camaldoli offered to ecumenical and religious dialogue was a concrete expression of what internally it had arrived at in terms of its own reflection on what it is to be a monastic community in the contemporary world and in the contemporary church, and to express in terms of its own sense of identity and in the changing of its constitutions this commitment to a conversation which is both ecumenical and interreligious, which has become a part of the identity of Camaldoli. In 1993, when Pope John Paul II came to Camaldoli, underlined this fundamental aspect of Camaldoli's identity.
My thanks there to Father Peter Hughes, prior of the Monastery of St. Gregory on the Caelian Hill.